Hi, this is Cuz Strickland with Mossy Oak, and you're listening to Wild Michigan with Duran Martinez.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan.
It's above the
I'm Duran Martinez. Happy to have you here on this middle of February, man. Getting ready for March. March is coming up already, and I don't know. Did we have a winter? I mean, it seems when we did get the snow and the cold that it was going to be, you know, hey, winter's here. We're going to go out and do it, and then poof, it's gone again. But we'll talk about that here in a couple of minutes. Right now we're talking with Mark Sack, outdoor writer extraordinaire with us, a good friend of ours here on the Conquest Sense Hotline. Mark, going back to what we were talking about a few minutes ago about, you know, the first thing the president comes out and talks about are their term, assault rifles, assault weapons, high capacity magazines. Did he not get the briefing that, you know, that's not what was found? That's not what the case was? No, their knees get jerked, bent out of shape, and, you know, it's back to the agenda when we talked about we know what the cause is and we know what the problems with that are, that we cannot divulge that information no matter how threatening the information or how damning it could be. We're not allowed to talk about it, but we can talk about everything else that's not the problem.
It's very difficult. Can you imagine, you know, the people that work in the field of mental health that know how some folks are struggling and yet can't do anything about it? We can't tell folks, better watch out for this person because he's going to kill somebody. And you know, I used to see, you know, I used to, 10 years ago, and I ran a partial hospital program, so folks came in for the day after, and a lot of times, since there were no kids unit anywhere, I mean, that could accept that, you know, there's only six, I think, kids units, inpatient units for psychiatric services in Michigan. Might be a few more now, mm-hmm. but because I've been out almost 5 years now, retired, but I know Hurley just opened one up, so these kids would come in to us because there was nowhere else to put them. Mm-hmm. And they should have been inpatient services, but we're letting them go home every night.
Yeah.
You know, and they were unstable. They should not have been out in public at all, you know? And so, you know, I still say, I mean, we're seeing this big increase in kids, especially, you know, and it's another rabbit hole going down, but the video games mm-hmm. have really negatively affected some folks. Not everybody. A lot of folks can put it in perspective. Some folks can't.
Sure.
And so they just get hooked on it, and pretty soon they're ordering, you know, this crazy stuff offline that you know, they need shields and they need, you know, machetes and they need. It's like, you know, and the parents come in and we're doing a family session and the parents are going, well, we want to make sure that he has all the things that he really wants. He doesn't need that stuff.
No.
You know, it continues to shove them in that direction. And then, you know, somebody calls him a weirdo and that snaps them, you know, and that's why we got them, because they've threatened somebody to the point or you know, made a suicidal statement or something, and so now they're in treatment. And you're looking at this person's level of functionality, and it's not there. I mean, they just don't have it. They, you know, they're struggling, but yet, you know, they still have the ability to access, because we can't release information that this person should really be monitored. We should keep them in outpatient services. Well, they can go see an outpatient therapist one time, but there's nothing keeping them there, you know, and most of the time that's what you see. You see folks dropping out of treatment. They're not completing treatment. They're, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, many times you see that. So it is, the system is failing by far. I mean, that's one of the things that we're seeing across you know, the whole country, is that our mental health system is failing tremendously. And those folks that are angry, just drive down the road, you know, and see what happens when somebody comes up behind you and you're not going fast enough. You know, you get this angry response from folks. We never saw that 20 years ago.
No, and I'll tell you what, Mark Sack is our guest here, outdoor writer. You know, if you're wondering why we're talking about all this, I mean, because it's important, first of all, to this community as hunters and anglers and sports people of all kinds in this state. Because, look, we got together, okay? We went out as families and friends with firearms to hunt, to enjoy what we do, to put food on the table. Is it a necessity to put that food on the table? I mean, no, we can go to the grocery store, but we can't get in a grocery store what we can take ourselves. And before we even go out to do that, we have training. We have an understanding of the machine that is put into our hands and a working knowledge of what it can do, because we see the end result firsthand. Okay, it's not a mystery to us. And most of us growing up, these items were not a mystery to us, because in my household, we knew where the guns were, we knew where the ammunition was, and if we touched them, we didn't sit down for a week. Okay, now to, you know, and we were told to go outside and do things. We had things we had to do. We had responsibilities. Now it's pacify them with video games, electronics, you know, iPads or whatever the case. So there's no interaction. We're losing so much interaction on a personal level. I mean, the social skill level, don't even get me started on that. But, you know, and a lot of that could contribute to a mental illness and a dealing with a scope of reality that they don't know how to. You know, I mean, like I said, you saw it firsthand better than I could ever explain it. But that's my take on it from an outsider's perspective.
Yeah. And I, you know, that's one of the things when you see it every single day like I did and had to respond to it. You know, and to understand, because when I first started, I used to work in Lapeer at the psychiatric unit at Lapeer Hospital. And it was always interesting, because back in the 80s, when I first started over there, you'd have a bunch of farmers' wives coming in and they'd get in a knitting circle and they'd knit in the unit, you know, It was very, you know, they were affected enough that they were depressed and they were upset. We used to take people in for 6 weeks. You had 2 weekend passes that had to be successful before you could be discharged. Today's world, you're in the hospital usually for 3 days, and that's about it. It could be 4 or 5 if there's medication issues or something.
Right.
But how in the world are you changing a whole, you know, cloud of depression and possibly anger to the point where you're saying you're going to take your own life or you're going to take someone else's life? How are you possibly going to change that in 3 days?
Yeah, you're not. Mark Sack, appreciate you joining us here. And definitely an insider's perspective as to what could be done different, or, you know, a better understanding anyway. Thank you so much, man. It was not the trail we were going to follow, but it's what we did. And I'm happier for it, man.
Let's talk fishing next time.
We'll talk fishing next time. Appreciate you joining us, man. We are being brought to you by Conquest Sense and Not Just Guns. This is Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.
Hi, this is Cuz Strickland with Mossy Oak, and you're listening to Wild Michigan with Duran Martinez.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan.
It's above the
I'm Duran Martinez. Happy to have you here on this Middle of February, man, getting ready for March. March is coming up already, and I don't know. Did we have a winter? I mean, it seems when we did get the snow and the cold that it was going to be, you know, hey, winter's here. We're going to go out and do it, and then poof, it's gone again. But we'll talk about that here in a couple minutes. Right now, we're talking with Mark Sack, outdoor writer extraordinaire with us, a good friend of ours here on the Conquest Sense Hotline. Mark, going back to what we were talking about a few minutes ago about, you know, the first thing the president comes out and talks about are their term, assault rifles, assault weapons, high capacity magazines. Did he not get the briefing that, you know, that's not what was found? That's not what the case was? No, their knees get jerked, bent out of shape, and, you know, it's back to the agenda when we talked about we know what the cause is and we know what the problems with that are, that we, you know, we cannot divulge that information no matter how threatening the information or how damning it could be. We're not allowed to talk about it, but we can talk about everything else that's not the problem.
It's very difficult. Can you imagine, you know, the people that work in the field of mental health that know how some folks are struggling and yet can't do anything about it? We can't tell folks, better watch out for this person because he's going to kill somebody. And you know, I used to, 10 years ago, and I ran a partial hospital program, so folks came in for the day after, and a lot of times, since there were no kids unit anywhere, I mean, that could accept that, you know, there's only six, I think, kids units, inpatient units for psychiatric services in Michigan. Might be a few more now, mm-hmm. but because I've been out almost 5 years now, retired, but I know Hurley just opened one up, so these kids would come in to us because there was nowhere else to put them. Mm-hmm. And they should have been inpatient services, but we're letting them go home every night.
Yeah.
You know, and they were unstable. They should not have been out in public at all, you know? And so, you know, I still say, I mean, we're seeing this big increase in kids, especially, you know, and it's another rabbit hole going down, but the video games mm-hmm. have really negatively affected some folks. Not everybody. A lot of folks can put it in perspective. Some folks can't.
Sure.
And so they just get hooked on it, and pretty soon they're ordering, you know, this crazy stuff offline that you know, they need shields and they need, you know, machetes and they need it's like, you know, and their parents come in and we're doing a family session and the parents are going, well, we want to make sure that he has all the things that he really wants. He doesn't need that stuff.
No.
You know, it continues to shove them in that direction. And then, you know, somebody calls him a weirdo and that snaps them, you know, and that's why we got them, because they've threatened somebody to the point or made a suicidal statement or something, and so now they're in treatment. And you're looking at this person's level of functionality, and it's not there. I mean, they just don't have it. They, you know, they're struggling, but yet, you know, they still have the ability to access, because we can't release information that this person should really be monitored. We should keep them in outpatient services. Well, they can go see an outpatient therapist one time, but there's nothing keeping them there, you know, and most of the time that's what you see. You see folks dropping out of treatment. They're not completing treatment. They're, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, many times you see that. So it is, the system is failing by far. I mean, that's one of the things that we're seeing across, you know, the whole country, is that our mental health system is failing tremendously. And those folks that are angry, just drive down the road, you know,
yeah,
and see what happens when somebody comes up behind you and you're not going fast enough. You know, you get this angry response from folks. We never saw that 20 years ago.
No, and I'll tell you what, Mark Sack is our guest here, outdoor writer. You know, if you're wondering why we're talking about all this, I mean, because it's important, first of all, to this community as hunters and anglers and sports people of all kinds in this state. Because, look, we got together, okay? We went out as families and friends with firearms to hunt, to enjoy what we do, to put food on the table. Is it a necessity to put that food on the table? I mean, no, we can go to the grocery store, but we can't get in a grocery store what we can take ourselves. And before we even go out to do that, we have training. We have an understanding of the machine that is put into our hands and a working knowledge of what it can do, because we see the end result firsthand. Okay, it's not a mystery to us. And most of us growing up, these items were not a mystery to us, because in my household, we knew where the guns were, we knew where the ammunition was, and if we touched them, we didn't sit down for a week. Okay, now to, you know, and we were told to go outside and do things. We had things we had to do. We had responsibilities. Now it's pacify them with video games, electronics, you know, iPads or whatever the case. So there's no interaction. We're losing so much interaction on a personal level. I mean, the social skill level, don't even get me started on that. But, you know, and a lot of that could contribute to a mental illness and a dealing with a scope of reality that they don't know how to. You know, I mean, like I said, you saw it firsthand better than I could ever explain it. But that's my take on it from an outsider's perspective.
Yeah. Yeah. And I, you know, that's one of the things when you see it every single day like I did and had to respond to it. You know, that's it is, and to understand, because when I first started, I used to work in Lapeer at the psychiatric unit at Lapeer Hospital, and it was always interesting, because back in the 80s when I first started over there, you'd have a bunch of farmers' wives coming in, and they'd get in a knitting circle and they'd knit in the unit, you know. Mm-hmm. It was very, you know, they were affected enough that they were depressed and they were upset. We used to take people in for 6 weeks. You had 2 weekend passes that had to be successful before you could be discharged. Today's world, you're in the hospital usually for 3 days, and that's about it. It could be 4 or 5 if there's medication issues or something.
Right.
But how in the world are you changing a whole, you know, cloud of depression and possibly anger to the point where you're saying you're going to take your own life or you're going to take someone else's life? How are you possibly going to change that in 3 days?
Yeah, you're not. Mark Sack, appreciate you joining us here. And definitely an insider's perspective as to what could be done different, or, you know, a better understanding anyway. Thank you so much, man. It was not the trail we were going to follow, but it's what we did, and I'm happier for it, man.
Let's talk fishing next time.
We'll talk fishing next time. Appreciate you joining us, man. We are being brought to you by Conquest Sense and Not Just Guns. This is Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.
Still believe.
Hey, Michiganiacs, this is your blood brother Ted Nugent celebrating the almighty Michigan spirit of the wild with my blood brother Duran Martinez on Wild Michigan. Go wild.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Very happy to have you here. Being brought to you by our friends at Not Just Guns. Thanks to Mark Sack, outdoor writer, for joining us here. We're going to speak with Sialik from Michigan Out of Doors here in a little bit as well. She's going to weigh in on what's coming up with them and what they've been up to. Happy to have her back here on the show. But right now, we're going to speak with the Deer Professor, Doug Roberts from Conquest Sense. And if you ever have questions you would like to have answered here on the air, by all means, send us your email, outdoormailbag@gmail.com. Put Deer Professor in the subject line and ask your question. We'll when we get Doug back on, we'll read it on the air for you, just like that. And we'll have all that info on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. But without further ado, Mr. Doug Roberts, how are you, sir?
I am good, Duran. Good to be with you.
Good to have you back, man. And there is a big event that I couldn't make last year because things, you know, the life things that get in the way, but we are scheduled and ready for the 17th and 18th up in Gaylord, Michigan for the United Deer Farmers of Michigan, a big gala event. And this is going to be, it's going to be huge, as they say.
Duran, it actually is. It's our two-day Deer Farmers fundraising convention. And we actually moved it from Soaring Eagle this year up to Gaylord, to a little bigger place called the Ellison Place. So it's really going to be a wonderful layout. I think being up north will be a good venue for us. But it's the largest state deer farming convention in the country. The only one that outdoes this convention is the national, which is NADEFA, held in French Lick, Indiana every year. So we're pretty excited about it. We know we'll have 450, 500 people there for the two-day event. We'll be auctioning off hunts, banks, blinds, gun safes, fishing trips, you name it. We're going to be auctioning off the golden ticket game that we do there. You know, the winner takes home $10,000 cash.
Wow.
So it's, so there's $20,000 money in prizes just in that game alone. But, you know, just a lot of ways to win different types of guns. The mystery gun safe, there's 100 tickets, $100 per ticket, but it's valued at $6,000. Last year, there were seven guns inside. There was a Fox Pro game call, a number of different things, plus you get the gun safe. So kind of just some really neat things that you can win, plus talking with all the people in the deer industry and kind of seeing what's going on and what's happening. It's a really a good get together for deer farmers and hunters. Hunters would love to see what we have up there.
Doug Roberts is our guest here, and Doug, the importance of this to me, and I will be there for sure for this event on the 17th and 18th. I'm looking forward to it, but if you have never attended this event or an event like it, what I find it to be is a good event for education, because there is so much misconception and mystery that surrounds the deer farming industry, not only in this state, but in others. And let me sidebar here real quick. Had it not been for Larry Bird, nobody would know where the hell French Lick, Indiana is. Okay? So, that said,
that's true.
When you said French Lick, I'm like, okay, 50 and older, you're going to know where that's at. Anybody else, you're just tweaking your head like the RCA dog. But let me get back to that. But, you know, There's so much mystery and so much misconception in the deer farming industry, and this really eliminates that, because you get to talk to the people that do it, why they do it, and it, believe me, the first thing out of their mouth is not for the money.
No, it's most of the deer farmers, believe it or not, are lucky to break even, maybe make a little bit of money. They do it because they love the whitetail deer. They love to spend time around it. They love to learn from it. And a lot of what the money that we raise basically goes mostly towards research for CWD. We're literally trying to figure out how do we get rid of CWD or absolutely stop the spread of it. Not slow the spread, but stop it. EHD has an effect on all hunters. I don't care who you are, how you hunt, where you hunt. EHD is devastating to the deer population. Our industry, and we're so excited about this, we've gotten two vaccines. There's three different strains of EHD. We have vaccines for two of the three, and the third one we're very close to having finished. And with that being said, what hunters don't realize is we're now trying to figure out how do we get that vaccine, which right now is in a shot form, into a feed formula or some form that hunters themselves can feed to the wild deer and inoculate them and make them immune to EHD and really eliminate a deadly disease that really devastates certain states every year in deer herds. So there's so much happening behind the scenes the actual hunting community doesn't realize that deer farming is doing. You also got USDA at the federal level that's really started to look at this industry as a agricultural industry, and how do we help it, and how do we work and cure these diseases as well. So you can just talk with so many people that have so much knowledge on all those areas. How do you keep a healthy deer herd? Well, the deer industry has figured that game out better than anybody. You know, and it comes down to certain types of feed. It comes down to vitamins and minerals. There's so many things that we're doing now that we know improve the health of a white-tailed deer, longevity of it, maximize antler potential within those bucks. And that's what hunters are all trying to figure out how to do. Well, our industry has a lot of the answers for them. So to spend a couple of days with deer farmers, I think hunters would learn a tremendous amount. Everyone kind of looks at it and goes, well, it's all about hunting behind a fence. It's absolutely not about hunting behind a fence. That's one part of the entire, you know, industry. And there's very many, many facets to the industry.
Absolutely. We've got Doug Roberts here joining us. You raise trophy class typical deer. I mean, you have got some just beautiful, beautiful whitetails on your property. And, you know, you have learned the tricks for feed and minerals and the balance of these things. But when I look at the non-typical end of things, people, you know, breeding non-typical, just it's like shrubbery on the head of a deer. I mean, it's cool, don't get me wrong, but there's a lot of misconception with that end of the farming industry as well.
Well, exactly. We damaged our own reputation, and I'll say that right up front. The deer industry, with a group of hunters that do hunt our high fence facilities, got into this score game, high score. Who can get the 400-inch whitetail? Who can get to the 500-inch whitetail? Who can get to the 600-inch whitetail? Heavens, I can remember when you couldn't even think of an elk getting to 600 inches.
Right.
And we're thinking of getting a whitetail deer there. Well, the only way to do that is just literally put a large number of points on the antlers, no matter what it looks like. And there was a lot of people in the industry, out of the industry, in the hunting community, but the biggest group was just the general public looked and said, but that doesn't represent a white-tailed deer. And there are a lot of people that didn't like that. Now, there's still a non-typical structure within our industry, but you also, I mean, Duran, look at the last world record non-typical that just got shot a couple of years ago. By the way, he was using Evercomb to do it. you know, 450 wow. some inches?
That's crazy.
Right. So it happens in the wild just as well.
Oh, sure.
But just not as often. But the industry really did take a look at that and went, you know, we really need to get back to what the white-tailed deer should look like. Yes, it can have extra points, but the frame, what we call now the frame, the look of the frame has to be pretty. And so I'm happy that we're going back in that direction. Mm-hmm. I just have always been stubborn, and right. everyone says I'm too stubborn. I just would not bend from that perfect, clean, typical look. And it's something that I love, and that's the picture in my head that I have, and so that's what I try to grow.
Doug Roberts joining us here. Of course, he's with Conquest Sense talking about the United Deer Farmers of Michigan event coming up the 17th and 18th up in Gaylord. And, of course, you're going to have – there's going to be a lot of these antlers and mounts on display, which I think is – you know, and to have the people there that have grown these deer or helped grow these deer – I mean, it's such a hands-on way to educate yourself, which, you know, unfortunately, reading past the subject line, most people don't do. And we're going to talk more with Doug here in a second. Sorry, Doug, against a hard break here real quick. We'll get back to Doug Roberts here on the Conquest Sense Hotline and talk more with him about that event coming up and also get a little deer talk in for us here in Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.
You can send your suggestions, comments, or questions to us here via email at outdoormailbag@gmail.com. Now, back to Wild Michigan.
Turn the quiet up, turn the noise down, let this old world just spin around.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Very happy to have you here. Being brought to you by our friends at Not Just Guns, Cedar Street, 127 in Mason. Find them, notjustguns.com, for classes like introductory classes to handling and owning a handgun, or personal protection classes, or CPL classes. Lots of cool stuff over there. They got a great facility for that that uses live feel, but not live ammunition handguns, okay? So it's completely safe and gets you comfortable with what you're using or what you're looking for, rather. So thanks again to them for being a part of this show. Thanks again to Conquest Sense. We're talking with Doug Roberts right now from there, and we're talking about the United Deer Farmers of Michigan event that's coming up on the 17th and 18th of March up in Gaylord. Jason Cross from Jackson, Michigan will be performing. He's, of course, out of Nashville now. Is he a country music recording artist and a Lumen Christi alum, I a Lansing Catholic alum. So, you know, us parochial guys know how to entertain, if you will. And Doug Roberts, you got Blaine Anthony, the bear whisperer. I've never whispered to bears. I've looked at them really closely, but whispering wasn't on my mind.
Well, it's one of those things you wouldn't find me doing either. But
right.
He is known of going in and checking the cubs, you know, and the dens crawling down in there. And, you know, of course, he's done a lot of bear hunting all over North America. But he's also known, you know, he's got the Hitman TV show. And what people don't realize, he produces numerous shows for Pursuit Channel, Sportsman Channel, Outdoor Channel, Discovery Channel. He's been doing this for a long time. And he also owned, at one time many years ago, a high fence facility that had deer and some exotics in it. So he kind of understands our industry a little bit as well. But he's actually having a gun made specifically for our convention. It'll be a one-of-a-kind painted AR-223-556 rifle that'll be auctioned off at the convention. So that's kind of neat, too, that he's going to have that done for us, and is going to give it to the convention and then have it auctioned off, one-of-a-kind gun. So if you're a gun enthusiast, you might want to be there just to bid on that auction item alone.
You know what? This is, again, this is going to be such a cool event because we're allowed to have these such events. Gaylord is a beautiful city. A great place. And, you know, it's so funny because, you know, it has all their Bavarian looking things, holds a personal, you know, a bit of personal love for me because that's where I took my elk in 2013. I took my bull in Gaylord, and which I cannot believe it's been 10 years. And now, you know, we get to make this like triumphant return to the United Deer Farmers of Michigan event, which is going to be spectacular. You got the one of one gun. You have all of the prizes, the golden ticket prize of lots of cash, and a new facility, which I think is pretty cool because it gives people an opportunity to kind of get rid of that cabin fever, Doug, that we have and get out and go north for a lot of us.
Yep. And, Durand, you know, the thing, too, is one thing we haven't mentioned is how do people register and sign up for rooms? You can actually, they can go right to the United Deer Farmers of Michigan.com website. And there's you just click on register and you can get yourself registered in for that. And then also we have room blocks up, choicehotels.com. So, but again, if you go to the United Deer Farmers of Michigan website, you can not only register for the event, you can book your room through there. So everything is on that website for the convention. And they're filling up fast. I know the other day, I think they booked 40 rooms just in the one morning.
Nice.
Yeah, it was kind of crazy when I found that out. I'm like, holy smokes. Looks like things are going to go okay. So
good. Yeah, Ellison Place in Gaylord. It's going to be a new place, but it's looking forward to going there. And there's a link on our website at wildmichiganradio.com. You can just click on the UDFOM link, and it'll take you right to their website. Which would be good. Real quickly, Doug, let's talk deer. Let's talk whitetails, because I know you know a little bit about that. This warm weather has got to be very uncomfortable for them that we've had, because they're still wearing, you know, that raccoon skin coat from the wintertime, carrying that around. And it's not just going to go away instantly.
Well, there's some good things and bad things that are happening. The good thing is yeah, they saw that winter coat. They really haven't had a hard winter, so they haven't had to fight for food sources. The fast supply that they did build up, a lot of that's still there. So those are all good things that a lot of deer are going to make it through this winter that in a normal winter, some would have starved to death. Just had issues, injuries, they can make it through. The downside is we haven't had the cold that we've needed to kill off the different bacterias in the soil, the different bugs and parasites. And now we're talking with a lot of the biologists, and they're saying that mosquitoes and ticks and those type of things are probably going to be one of the worst summers we've ever seen for those items, so flies. So as nice as this winter's been for them, there could be some negative things that we may see this summer that could have an impact on the fawns, antler growth, and just the overall health of the deer. Yeah, the winter coat's still on, and, you know, it looks like we got spring coming early, even though the old woodchuck said six more weeks, but we've just skated through, I think, 2 weeks that weren't too
right,
bad.
Right. You know, and I look at it this way, too. If we have, you know, historically as of recent, we've had that wet spring and then the hot summer, you know, or at least some hot days in summertime, which are great for antler growth. Unfortunately, a lot of standing water causes more mosquitoes and we have problems.
Right. You know, the thing, too, is, again, we talked about EHD earlier.
Sure.
You get those hot, dry summers, but you get these little water spots. But the thing that people don't realize is you got Giardia, you got Coccidia. Those are natural bacteria and things that are in the environment and in the ground. But when we get those right hot, drier conditions, they pop up and out. And, you know, coccidia, for example, when it gets into a fawn, and all it takes is a fawn to drink out of a little footprint of mud, you know, where the mom stepped in the mud, it created a little cavity, you get a little bit of rain, gets in there. That bacteria gets into that water, and it literally can multiply thousands and thousands of times within minutes in their system. And we've seen it on the farm where a perfectly healthy deer, fawn, 2-3 month old fawn will drink out of that, and 6 hours later is stone dead.
Wow.
Looks perfectly healthy, but the bacteria in the system literally multiplied so fast that it kills it from the inside.
Wow.
And so those are the concerns that, you know, we as farmers have to be aware of, but the same thing's happening in the wild.
Sure.
And so again, these easy winters that everyone says, oh man, yeah, nice winter, not hard and cold. That cold, it serves a purpose, and I'm still kind of hoping we get a 2-week cold snap that really kind of settles in for a little bit, because we need it.
Don't need snow, just cold. I don't mind the cold.
Exactly, cold. And not. We don't need snow anymore. We just need cold to get that frost to go down into the ground a few inches and really kill some stuff off.
Absolutely. Doug Roberts, as always, man, we appreciate you. Real quickly, I just want to touch on this. How did the ThermoPads go over this first for your initial use, initial sales, essentially?
Unbelievably well.
Good.
Way past our expectations. Of course, you know we're going to the shows right now and
yep.
meeting with all the store buyers. Everybody has jumped on board.
Nice.
Because it's just such an easy way of getting scent out into the air once you get down to those cold temps and freezing temps. We've never been able to do that, and we finally have figured that way out. So ThermoPads have definitely made a game changer as far as late season honey.
All right, there it is, man. Think about it now while it's early so you can get them. When you want them and when they're ready to be had. Doug Roberts, Conquest Sense, thank you so much, man. We appreciate you joining us here on the show. We got a whole bunch more coming your way. Of course, United Deer Farmers of Michigan event going on the 17th and 18th of March in Gaylord. We'll have all the information on the website, wildmichiganradio.com, and there's a direct link to the United Deer Farmers of Michigan on our website that you can get yourself registered to your room and get yourself on board so you can be part of those fun 2 days that we will be at ourselves. Doug, thank you so much, man. We appreciate you.
Always fun being with you, Duran.
All right, man. Next
Thanks
hour,
again.
Thank you. Jenny Silek from Michigan Out of Doors TV. We'll be kicking off that hour here on the Michigan Talk Network.